Hello, this is Jane Hoffman from Blog Talk Radio, and my normal show is scheduled on the Earnest Radio Network under Political Gravity. But tonight, since it's Good Friday, I thought I'd add some extra dialogue about what God intends for us, but more so, what we are searching for. I know there are spiritually lost people out there who, whether they're successful in the business world or just struggling to get by, they're searching for some redemption in their life. And I hope tonight you can join my show and share with me something that's on your mind. Now I would like to share the impetus for what this show was really about. First of all, I've had a childhood friend for several years. And she's been a friend for a long time. And I've known her for 45 years. I started walking to kindergarten with her when she was age 5. It's hard to really put into words just what unraveled our friendship, but this week the friendship took what I would call an anticlimactic toll, and it dissolved into nothingness. It crumpled into oblivion. Now, my life has changed a lot since I walked the streets of White Bear Lake in the 60s and 70s. I was born 1 year before Barack Obama in 1960, and in those days we walked to school, even the high school, which was a mile away. There were very few kids that had cars, and I would walk to school every day with Kathleen, and I had an identical twin sister named Joan, and Kathleen and myself and Joan would walk to school every single day from kindergarten till 12th grade. I remember as high school, you know, came about, I was a long distance runner, and I was, in my senior year, I was the star on my team, not in my junior year. And I remember some days I was just like rushing to get ready. Maybe it was 10 to 8 and we had to walk a mile still to get to school by 8:05. And I just remembered my personality changed a little during that time. I got a little more arrogant and cocky because my team had won state that year and I led them to a state championship. Now, one thing I noticed about Kathleen is that when she got to high school, she was pretty friendly in junior high. She was on a couple bowling teams. She played the clarinet. But when she got to high school, she kind of like you know, spiraled into this one-on-one relationship with her boyfriend. Well, then he graduated. He was a year ahead of us, and he graduated. And her senior year, you know, she still had close friends, but she didn't do any outside activities except for golf. And I just remember her not being very involved with things. Now, it could just be that I was too busy, and I didn't notice everything that she did, because I definitely knew she was active on the golf team. But, you know, like, when I started hanging around with the running friends, you know, our relationship, it wasn't the same, because in 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, you know, we would play at each other's houses quite a bit. And in Minnesota, you know, we lived in a town of 23,000. There wasn't that many people to really do things with, except for your immediate friends in your neighborhood. And then, of course, in junior high, you branch out and you meet more kids across town. But our usual activities were softball in the summer, you know, bowling and playing games at each other's house in the fall and winter, and, you know, going to birthday parties and hanging out. But I'm not saying it was cataclysmic. And she was just in a different crowd, you know, no hard feelings. But over the last couple of years, you know, she's just gotten into the withdrawal mode. And for a long time, she worked for the White Bear Schools when her kids were younger. But then as her kids got like in 8th, 9th, and 10th grade, she got a job in a law firm in downtown Minneapolis. And she got more upscale. You know, she was making better money. Her husband had a good job at 3M. And, you know, she's really becoming upscale. And her daughter was in a sport that required a lot of money. So I don't think she really separated from other people because of that. Now, I forgot to mention a key point. You know, my twin sister and I live in California. So we don't live anywhere close to her anymore. It's just that there's little signs that you pick up from people, you know, like when you first come back to Minnesota, they're not 100% emotionally available. And, you know, there's just signs that you pick up, you know, that she has different priorities and she wants to send subtle signs that she's busy. Now, I hadn't made it home in a number of years, so in 2008, I was working for Al Franken, but I was working 4.5 hours north in Bemidji. You know, it's a good feeling to always be happy to be home. Well, I worked that job 35 days, and I had a difficult boss, and I ended up leaving early because the lady watching my son in California had a close relative died who lived right in the household, and I wasn't able to stay into the political job until the campaign ended in November. So I left that job, and around October 6th or 7th, I flew back to California. Well, the thing about it was is that, you know, my last day there, I was visiting people in 4 different parts of the Twin Cities, and she asked me to bring her an Obama sign. So I drove 25 miles out of my way to bring her an Obama sign. You know, and I was willing to do that kind of thing, you know, because I was back on my home turf. I liked helping people out. It's just that I had a lot of people to visit that day. So, you know, as it turns out, I went back home in 2009 for just 4 days because I had just got a new job. And she was having a party with her daughter and her daughter's friends for the sport they were in, which I don't want to mention too many personal details in case anybody ever listens to the archive. I don't want people to think, you know, that I'm going to reveal too much of her personal life. But supposedly I found out through her mother that she was having a birthday, not a birthday party, but a sports-related sleepover with tons of girls. So to make a long story short, I wasn't able to get a hold of her until I took like a Thursday to a Sunday trip or Monday morning. I wasn't able to get a hold of her until Sunday night, and then by that time I was at the casino with my father's sister, and they lived completely on the other side of Minneapolis, so there was no chance that I was going to see her. So it's almost like once she knew I was way over in Coon Rapids, I felt like she thought it was safe for her to call me and not make an arrangement. That's kind of the feeling I got the last couple years, that, you know, it's okay for me to go 25 miles out of my way to deliver an Obama sign, but she can't even make a coffee date with me when I'm, you know, I just came 2,000 miles from California, and I did have my son with me this time. In 2008, I did not. So, our history goes back a long way, and she has 2 lovely daughters, and my daughter died in 1992, and, you know, they were both born within a year, one of them, and things just, you know, people grow, people change, people move on, but, you know, one thing that really gets me, and this is my spiritual confession for the night, is if you've been in a church your whole life, you send your kids on mission trips in the summer to go, like, build houses in West Virginia for the poor. Why can't you ever just go 1 second out of your way for somebody? You know, like, just make that little bit of extra effort. And I had a there was another girl from Minnesota who was a journalist and very outspoken and aggressive. And at one time, about 3 years ago, a conflict developed between all three of us. And that person is definitely not of the Lord. She is always criticizing people, including her own family. And Kathleen had to like be a buffer between those two situations, and I just decided in the end not to stay friends with the other agnostic, because this is a religious show, by the way. So if anybody feels, you know, spiritually compelled, like this isn't their topic matter, go ahead and, you know, don't stay in the show. But you know, it's about being real with people. And this person was successful in California. I'm just going to name her Daisy for now to give her a name. She was successful in California. She had worked for a law firm. She went and got her journalism degrees. But then she had a couple setbacks at a Texas radio station, and she also had a setback with NPR. And then she ended up just being the editor of a local newspaper for several years and then went on to write a book. Now, unfortunately, along the way, she let her job take over her feelings, and she got overweight, and now she's pretty much incapacitated and can barely move from her house. But she still has a sharp tongue, and she still did enough damage to, you know, create problems in people's lives. And I think she's somebody who initially meant well, but she doesn't even know when she's hurting people's feelings. And she's one of those people that won't go to church because she feels that church is full of hypocrites and you're not going to be blessed there. And personally, I don't think she has an omniscient idea of really who God is. So I got into major conflict with that person, who also backstabbed me and tried to play my twin sister off of me. But this other person named Kathleen has pretty much been benign my whole life. Besides being not 100% available when people come to town, she didn't really commit any breaches of friendship against me. You know, she has a lack of interest, for a better word. So anyways, and I will confess that Facebook has ruined a lot of my friendships, and that's a pretty tragic thing. So I want to read a couple Bible verses before I get into the second half of the discussion, but basically what happened is we had a falling out this week, and it was also pretty benign, and it just goes, anytime that there's any conflict thrown in her direction, she just backs out of the situation and pretty much shows that she doesn't care. So it says, "So admit your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Prayers offered by those who have God's approval are effective." No, I didn't get the verse on that one. This one comes from the King James Bible, and I think it's James 5:16. "Confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Luke 1:7-7. "To give the people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." John 6:45. "It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me." 1 Thessalonians 4:9. "Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other." Hebrews 8:11. "No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." Hebrews 8:12. "I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." Hebrews 10:17. "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." 1 John 2:20. "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you who know the truth." 1 John 2:27. "As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it is taught you, remain in him. So I wrote it, I just read several verses in a row, and it's talking about, you know, in the parts where it says, you should already know how to treat your brother. God has taught you it. You know, like, do we need to be taught how to treat our brother? You know, this was a buddy of mine. I've known her 45 years. Her mom sends Christmas cards to me, and her mother sends my son a $5 gift in his birthday card every year, a $5 bill. It may not be much, but she has 15 grandchildren. And, you know, it's nice of her to do so. I'm not her blood relative. What I'm trying to say is this. I asked her a question. I said, why did your two daughters drop me on Facebook? And one of the daughters plays a sport that I used to play. I said, I like looking at their pictures. You know, I barely write on their wall, maybe once in every 6 months. I'm wondering why they dropped me. Then she simply wrote, because they would like to only be friends with their friends, not their parents' friends. Well, I've been their daughter's friends on Facebook for 2 years. And all of a sudden now, just abruptly, they dropped me like an old shoe. I sent her daughter a garnet red heart locket for her graduation 2 years ago. And I was already planning on sending her other daughter a gift. I'm not being petty. I'm probably just going to send a card. But she gave me a vague answer. I said, well, okay, your second child has 743 friends. And I write on her wall annually. So would it make a difference whether I exist on her wall or not? And she wrote back, you wrote something awkward about a prom picture and paralleled it to a wedding. I have no idea what I wrote. I can't remember what I wrote. I think I wrote something like, your dress is so beautiful, maybe you could use that in a wedding someday. Apparently she was standing with a guy she's no longer dating, and the daughter thought I was construing the dress and the boy to equate marriage. Now, I would never equate marriage to someone who's a junior or senior in high school. I was only making a reference to the dress. So then I wrote back, thank you for writing me back. You know, I don't really remember what I wrote. And then about 4 hours later, I wrote her back and I said, you know, my son would never do that to you. He would never just drop you without an explanation. I asked her children for explanations and I didn't get them. And I just said, I was trying to reveal to her in so many words that it was rude. But, you know, you've known the family 45 years. Her mother sends my son birthday cards every year. Yet the mother is in her 80s, and my friend just turned 50 this past year. She's really not a very attentive person to even reach out. Now, at the time of my first child's death in 1992, her and her husband did help me out. Clint took me on a walk, her husband. I remember we walked to sunrise. I was dressed in, like, strange clothes. I felt disconnected from the world. My marriage had just crumbled, and I would move back in with my parents. And I had been living in Stoughton, Wisconsin. Eventually, my little mini breakdown only lasted like 3 or 4 weeks. And it was a pretty bad breakdown, like I wouldn't move out of the chair. I stopped eating. My child had died a year and a couple months before, and then my marriage ended. And it just seemed like, you know, things weren't really going very smoothly for me, to say the least. Needless to say, her and her husband did help, but her husband has a more effervescent personality. So, you know, I just remember that one distinct walk when we were walking up and down the street, and he tried to cheer me up. So, my confession tonight on Good Friday is, you know, am I living a godly life? Do I put too much weight on what others think and do? And when I do face adversity, do I rely on God, or do I automatically react to that person and not see the bigger picture? So I was trying to think tonight, is there a bigger picture? You know? Is there a picture where I can really see somebody? Can I see somebody for what their wants and needs are apart from me? And perhaps Kathleen just really didn't want me in her life anymore, and she didn't have a way to express it. Or Kathleen thinks I'm high maintenance. Or Kathleen just doesn't give a crap. That could possibly be the worst case scenario. But in order not to give a crap, you know, you can't be a Christian at all to not even have any type of burden for someone you've known 45 years. So in my book, it's a little depressing. And I'm having this show to express my confessions and solicit other people's confessions. Do you have a confession you would like to make tonight? I'm going to give you the number to call. 760. Whoops. I'm kind of messing up now. Hold on, folks. 760-888-5856. That's the number to call. 760-888-5856. Now, maybe this person was only worth 22 minutes of my time. And I don't want to downgrade this person. I'm going to read another verse from Matthew. Judge not, lest ye be judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye might, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in the brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine own eye, and behold, a beam is in thine eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then shalt not thou see clearly to cast out the mote of the brother's eye? Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and render to you. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh shall find, and to him who knocketh it shall be open. Oh, what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things, whatever ye would that man should you do, do ye even so to them, for that is the law of the prophets. Now, when you take the context of God, and God says, whatever you ask is the law of the prophets. So if someone asks me for a piece of bread, or if they ask me for a peace of mind, you know, what are they really asking? I will share the truth righteously with anybody, and I will give and lay down my life for my brother. But what happens now when I have 3 or 4 or 5 friends that are in financial straits? This past year, I received a meager inheritance, and I say that because I really don't want to publicize it. I helped several people out with 10s, 20s, 30s, 40s, 100s. And then I realized I didn't want to be like my talk show friend Larry Elder, who practices social Darwinism and labels people according to their weaknesses. He's a good friend, but you know what? When you become a Christian, you lose your rights to social Darwinism. Will you give to the man who may hurt you the next day or hurt himself? This Kathleen creature, I'd like to sum up, she hurt me and she put me in a lot of pain because she did not recognize the value that she was to me and the high place that she possesses in my childhood. And that's a place that could never be replaced because I didn't walk to kindergarten with anybody else but my twin sister. And she's still in my life. But some things we have no control of. We have no control of people's feelings. We have no control of people's reactions. We have no control of people's sensitivity. We have no control of what they might be thinking or how they may respond to us. So all we can do is pray for our brothers. And like the verse says, don't look for the log in the, don't look for the speck in your brother's eye when there's a giant log in your own. Try to walk in that other man's shoes. And by the way, that was Matthew 7, 1 through 12. So the burden of my heart that I'm laying on you is that you love your brother. You love that. You love your brother even when they cause you pain. Even when they're taking you through the trenches. But you know what? Don't fall into sin with your brother. If you want to bear the trial with your brother, that's one thing. But don't fall into sin with your brother. Be the righteous person in the group. And always rely on the Old and New Testament for your wisdom. Okay? So next week, I will be back on Blog Talk Radio under Jane Hoffman and Political Gravity. My shows are Sunday nights at 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern. And the reason I played this show is because if my friendship with Kathleen is truly over, I will sincerely miss her. But I have to move on because I had a funny reaction the next day as I was driving to the San Diego Zoo. And you know what? I'm not going to let people's emotional sterility bring me down. If they don't have compassion for something and they don't share their love to me after I give my love to them, then I'm not going to live with someone who's, you know, who's constantly in a bind, who's never lived more, she's never moved past 5 miles from her old neighborhood. And in my opinion, maybe she's emotionally guarded, but she's also not an emotional risk taker. So I see her for who she is. I'm not judging, I'm just analyzing. We have 90 seconds left in the show. I'm a little sad we didn't have any callers tonight, but know this, that true love for certain people will always remain, and my love for her will always remain, even if she has thrown me under the bus. But God is greater than Kathleen, and He can change her heart to be a better person and not dwell. Don't dwell, Kathleen. Don't be stuck in the mud. The world's bigger than you and bigger than me, and God's love can possibly bind us back together. In Jesus' love, I pray.